On July 23rd, 2025, President Trump signed 3 executive orders aimed at solidifying U.S. leadership in artificial intelligence, with one specifically targeting the acceleration of data center construction. The new policy promotes the use of federal lands, including brownfield and Superfund sites. Brownfield and Superfund sites are basically former industrial sites, generally found in urban areas that are complicated by the potential presence of hazardous substances, pollutants, or contaminants. A $500 billion private sector partnership has already been formed with companies like OpenAI, Oracle, and SoftBank to construct up to 20 AI data centers across the United States. Meanwhile, Meta has unveiled ambitious plans to build massive AI data centers, including the Hyperion project in Louisiana, projected to scale up to 5 gigawatts of computational power over several years, and the Prometheus cluster in Ohio, set to come online in 2026, with 1 gigawatt and 500,000 GPUs. Additionally, Meta is developing multiple Titan clusters, with each facility's footprint rivaling significant portions of Manhattan. Additionally, data centers use water for cooling servers and other IT equipment to prevent overheating. A hyperscale center can guzzle 3 to 5 million gallons per day. In 2021, data centers collectively consumed 449 million gallons per day, while the rest of America consumed 39 billion gallons per day. So data centers used roughly an additional 1% of water resources. But as small as these numbers are today, the AI data center juggernaut is inevitably barreling headlong into a water-starved future, and the battleground is smack dab in America's driest regions. Out in the Southwest, Arizona's a ticking time bomb. Phoenix and Mesa are drowning in data centers while the Colorado River chokes. Google is already gulping millions of gallons a day, elbowing out farmers and folks just trying to keep their taps running. California's Central Valley and Southern Sprawl are getting hammered too, with new server farms piling onto a state already choked by drought. Then there's Texas. Abilene staring down the barrel of OpenAI's Stargate Behemoth, a project set to suck up water in a state where droughts are legendary and farmers are fighting for scraps. Over in Georgia, places like Newton County are already paying the price. Wells running dry, water turning to sludge, and a looming deficit by 2030. Virginia is currently the king of data centers, with Northern Virginia's server farms multiplying like roaches, draining resources while locals and industries beg for relief. Some outfits are tinkering with air cooling or recycling water, but it's a drop in the bucket against the tidal wave of AI's thirst, set to explode by 2027.
But then there's no lobbying group, no environmental group, no group saying this summer in the real studies by the major 5 power grids that they're all on the verge of collapse just because of AI data centers, including the main East Coast grid, the biggest. But they say global warming, you'll have blackouts, the power's about to go out. But they never say in those articles it's because AI is already slurping up 40% of the power produced in the United States while they shut down the power plants. So you don't get power, but AI gets all the power it ever wants.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you can find the full John Bowne report at band.video. And as we've been reporting here for months, this is going to be the big issue we run into is energy. And if you put the cart before the horse on this deal and you don't build the nuclear power and start unleashing coal, which they are making moves now to unleash the coal, then we're going to be up against it for energy. Not going to be good.
For a limited time, you can get this limited edition Murdered Out InfoWars shirt at thealexjonesstore.com with the American flag on the shoulder. It's historic, and it funds the operation. We've got other cool shirts that just came in as well. The new Liberty Bell 1776 Declaration of Independence shirt is out. It's limited edition, and it's got my signature on the back. That really triggers libtards. And then there's this limited edition I weaponized the American people. It was actually you weaponized them, and we're winning. Get it all now at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support.
Our political elite want nothing more than for you to be ignorant, deceived, censored, silenced, and rendered useless. But Brainforce Ultra is a great way to fight back, because staying sharp is part of winning the InfoWar. Not only will this product keep you sharp, but it will also keep InfoWars broadcasting the truth worldwide. We all know that InfoWars has been under relentless attack for years. That's why it's more important now than ever, in this most pivotal time in our nation's history, that you go to InfoWarsStore.com and get Brainforce Ultra.
Friday, August 1st, 2025, yes, already in the month of August. Now, yesterday, I had a huge news broadcast ready to go, and then I was basically gaslit by President Trump, saying, oh no, how dare Canada talk about a Palestinian state, we can't do trade now, and it just threw everything off kilter, so I could barely even cover the news. Because it's the not-so-subtle reminder of what's really being prioritized by the administration right now. And unfortunately, I've got more evidence of this messed-up priority system that we have going right now from Washington, D.C. But I am going to get to all the news. I mean, this desk is loaded. There's no shortage of news today. We're going to try to knock it all out. No guests. And if I'm really good, I'll be able to get to all the news and take some calls. Not too long of a video list, about 15 videos we can get to. But so yesterday it was the, oh, how dare Canada talk about a Palestinian state? How dare they? We can't do trade. And it's just like, oh boy, here we go. So that one just kind of threw me off kilter. Well, earlier today, I'm going to learn from yesterday's lesson and not going to let it gaslight me, though. Earlier today, though, and this is really more consequential, yesterday's Trump's post was just a not-so-subtle reminder that, yeah, this is how things are really going to work for this administration. This is what we're really going to prioritize. No, today, though, much more consequentially, President Trump posts this. Based on highly provocative statements of the former president of Russia, Dmitry Medvedev, who is now the deputy chairman of the Security Council of the Russian Federation, I have ordered two nuclear submarines to be positioned in the appropriate regions just in case these foolish and inflammatory statements are more than just that. Words are very important and can often lead to unintended consequences. I hope this will not be one of those instances. Thank you for your attention to this matter. That's his new sign offline for whatever reason. Now, let's look at this from a couple different potential perspectives. I would say if we start with the Russian perspective, which you don't get an accurate representation of what's really going on in Russia in Western media, and that's there's obvious reasons behind that, because they want Russia to be the boogeyman. They want to demonize Russia. They want to keep Russia and United States from having a strong global partnership, because it would be devastating for globalism. Even though Russia and America should be allies, we'd be perfect allies. But no, so we run this propaganda, we have the corrupt media, we have our corrupt government. They continue to lie about what really goes on in Russia and Vladimir Putin and everything else. And that's no endorsement of Russia. They got problems just like we got problems, but they are not our natural enemy. If anything, they're our natural ally. It's like the star quarterback and the prom queen. So you look at it from the Russia angle, and this is where most Americans don't fully appreciate Vladimir Putin. and I hope this hasn't changed, but Trump could be on course of changing this. Vladimir Putin was raised in Western culture. He likes Western culture. He likes blue jeans and sunglasses. Putin speaks multiple languages. He has a desire. He has a yearning, if you will, kind of a romanticism with the West. Like, he wants the West to court Russia. It's like, hey, he's a big Russian patriot, Russian pride guy, but he's like, he's looking at the West. He's like, oh man, like wide eyes. He's like, man, this could really be great. But, you know, he tried to get into NATO. He tried to get things better in the 90s. Didn't work. Then the issues with Ukraine, they continue to this day. Putin wants a relationship with America. He wants a relationship with the West. But NATO and the corrupt Western deep state just keeps pushing him away, using the government propaganda, media propaganda, just keep Russia as the boogeyman. And it kind of looked like after the fake Russian collusion stuff failed, and after Trump was speaking positively of Putin, it kind of looked like, oh, okay, maybe we can get this thing going in the right direction. Maybe we can mend this relationship and make something positive out of this. But to finish up on the Russia angle, this is where Americans or the West don't appreciate Vladimir Putin's restraint. The President Trump today talks about Dmitry Medvedev. You have to understand, the people behind Putin, it's kind of like you have the ultra-right in Israel that's just total warmongers. You have an ultra-right in Russia that's very similar, except way, well, I don't know if you could say more dangerous. I mean, they're virtually the same. You've got warmongers and military far ultra-right in Russia that are like, there are no tolerance people. They want Ukraine. They want Ukraine wiped off the map. They're pissed that Putin hasn't already gone into Kiev. They wouldn't even mind starting a war with America. And so Putin kind of plays off of that a little bit, and kind of like Trump would have John Bolton around. He keeps some of these people around. He lets them make statements to the press to kind of keep that out there. Like, hey, you know, just so you know, if you get rid of me, this is who you're dealing with. You could have nukes in the air by next week if you get rid of me. So you might want to keep Vladimir Putin around. You might want to show a little appreciation for Vladimir Putin's restraint dealing with geopolitics. But man, you know, after the recent developments with Trump and Putin and then this today, it starts to feel like, the bell of the ball starts to feel like the prom queen, Russia, Vladimir Putin. Looks like the star quarterback here, America, has given him the big N-O. Has given him the big, you know what, I'm not dancing with you. I'm not going to the prom with you. So what does Russia do in this heartbreak? What does Russia do in this situation? Well, they've kind of already prepared for this because it's been going on for years. They're working on the BRICS system. They're forming partnerships with China and India and Brazil. So they've kind of already hedged their bet, I guess, counting on the U.S. going this way. But maybe when Trump came along, it's like, oh, wait a second. Hold on. Hold on a second. I think the star quarterback was just looking at me. I think he just winked at me. I think he's going to approach me for a dance. And then it approaches. It's like, oh, yeah, actually, no, we're going to move submarines into your region is what we're going to do, actually. So that's kind of the Russia angle. So now you have to see, will there even be a response to this, or are they just going to ignore it? I'm thinking they'll probably just ignore it, because here's what I see going on. And, you know, there's this issue, and it's not everybody in this audience, but, you know, there's this issue now within the American right or Trump supporters where it's like you can't even do basic news coverage. And so there's different types of personalities in media, and there'll be personalities that intentionally don't want you to know where their politics are. They don't want you to know who they support, who they don't support. I wear my politics on my sleeve, but I try to deliver news from a neutral perspective. But I can't hide where I stand politically. So people listen to me because they know I'm, I guess, somewhat on the right or supported Trump, But then it's like I try to just give you neutral news and people get pissed off because it's like, oh, that's not what I want to hear. Well, I'm saying that to deliver this news as I see it today. I feel that Trump is, I don't want to say out of control, but, you know, you've heard Alex, if you're listening to the Alex Jones Show that I follow up every day. Imagine that. Imagine having to go on stage after Ozzy Osbourne. You know what I'm saying? It's quite a heavy burden. But if you listen to Alex, he's been talking about how Trump is basically fire in the eyes, laser beams in the eyes, just totally unleashed. And you kind of start to see that now. So I look at this story saying we're going to move the nuclear submarines. I feel that Trump is either just truly unleashed and just going off the hip. And maybe, you know, sometimes when you fire from the hip, you miss. That's why they don't train you to fire from the hip. You go to any gun training, they're not going to train you to fire from the hip. They're going to train you to aim and shoot. So it seems like this is a Trump firing from the hip. Maybe he's getting bad advice. Maybe he's getting good advice and he's not taking it. But what I see is that President Trump thinks anything he does is going to be glitz and glamour. He thinks anything he does is going to equate to success. And I think the ego, the hubris of it is starting to affect his decision making. And I'm not going to sit here and play the game of gotcha politics with Trump, because when he talked about ending the Ukraine war and ending the war in the Middle East and all this stuff, ending it day one and how he'd have peace negotiations day one, I think he meant that. But obviously that didn't happen. So that's kind of the evidence of what I'm talking about here. He thinks he can do all this stuff on the global stage. He thinks he has all these geopolitical powers and capabilities like he might have had in his first term. But they're not there anymore. I mean, I can think of a bunch of different analogies for this, but it's like a superhero that loses their power but still thinks they have their power, and then it's like I need to fly and then can't get off the ground. So I think President Trump really thinks he can saber rattle with Russia and make an impact, whatever that impact is supposed to be. And maybe he thought continuing to send military support to Ukraine would send their message to Russia. Obviously, that wasn't received. Russia said, you've been sending military support to Ukraine for 3 years, hadn't stopped us at all. So, okay. Continue to hurt your approval ratings if you would like. Continue to bankrupt your country. Continue to hollow out your country by supporting Ukraine. If that's what you want to do, it's not gonna stop our war. It's not going to stop us, in case you haven't noticed. And again, this is where people underestimate Putin's restraint. It's like, us, our military aid for Ukraine has been effective. We've held off Russia this long. No, Russia's held itself off. Now, let's not minimize the death that's happening there, which is tragic and despicable that this is what NATO and the military-industrial complex does. This is what they do. A million people die? As long as they make millions of dollars, doesn't matter to them. Couldn't care less. All over the world, Ukraine, Middle East, doesn't matter. That's the military-industrial complex. But so I think Trump really thinks he's got all the cards, as he says. He's got the political will. He's got the geopolitical force behind him. And he's got the support of the American people. And he can just do this and saber-rattle, and it's all going to turn out good. And you might argue so far it has. You might argue the only impact is that his approval ratings are tanking. Which, folks, if we get into an expanded war with Russia or we get involved in Ukraine, his approval rating will go down to the 30s, drop below that. I mean, it'll just be a complete disaster. And then you talk about the midterms and everything else. We'll just live in the moment. I think Trump really thinks that he's got the geopolitical will and force here to force Russia's hand. And if he thinks he can reach a peace deal or a ceasefire or bring Russia to the table with this, whatever the agenda is, I think he's grossly overestimating what he has in his hand. I think he's grossly overestimating. And if you look at Russia, what is Russia's response to this going to be? Honestly, they're probably laughing at how much of a joke this is. And I'm not saying war is a joke. I'm saying this saber rattling is a joke. What? So Russia says, "Oh, what? So you're moving nuclear submarines closer to us as a threat. So this is a threat. A threat of what? What are you going to do? You're going to strike Russia? Is Trump going to order military strikes on Russia? Is Trump going to order direct military action against Russia? Of course not. That would be insane. That would be suicidal." And so Russia kind of sits here laughing like, okay, some nice boats. What are you going to do? Nice boats. Keep sending your money. Keep sending your weapons to Ukraine. Keep hollowing out your military. Yeah. Keep doing that. Oh, nice boats you just sent our way. Oh, you're going to strike us? What happens if America strikes Russia? Trump's approval rating dips 10 points in 24 hours. Putin's approval rating goes up 10 points in 24 hours. Russia is more united than America is right now, ladies and gentlemen. And the more actions that America takes against Russia, the stronger their unity gets, the stronger Putin's support is. So there's really no good outcome with Trump doing this. That's why I sit here and I say, well, what is the goal? What is the goal here? And I don't even think it's that. I think this is Trump firing from his hip. I think he thinks that he still has the same geopolitical force and will from his first administration. I think he still believes that he has the same level of respect and admiration and trust from his first administration. But I don't believe that is the case. I don't believe that's the case. And this move with Russia is, I wouldn't say it's embarrassing. It's a little distasteful, but okay, he's got his agenda, but there's no clear goal here. There's no clear goal. And if your goal is to weaken Russia or threaten Russia, then all you're doing is hurting the bottom line if you're trying to achieve peace. You really think this is going to bring Russia to the table after you just sent more military support to Ukraine? Clearly, Putin does not trust you anymore. And so maybe it's a personal thing, but I will just say this is, to me, this is Trump firing from the hip. It's a massive miss. Who knows what the goal is here? It's not going to achieve a peace agreement. And if anything, it's going to make Russia respect us even less. And it's going to make Russia look at this new White House, Trump 2.0, as more of a joke than a serious geopolitical force. So I get it. I get people, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to admit that this is the reality. They want to think everything is great. And it's kind of this American hubris that's been around as well, that slowly the realities are starting to come to the front here. Like what's happening in our inner cities and the poverty and the decay, collapse of the dollar, everything else. And let's be clear, I don't want to move. I don't want to live anywhere else. I love this country. I still believe it's the greatest country on earth. I still believe we can redeem it and fix it and make it great again, as the stated goal of this administration. But let's not sit here and pretend like America is now some invincible, untouchable force. It's not. We're sitting on a powder keg. We're inside of a thin bubble. And it's moves like this that make it even worse. So we'll see what happens. I don't think this is going to escalate anything. I don't think Russia is going to respond. I don't anticipate any military action against Russia. I just look at this as saber rattling and shooting from the hip. For what purpose, who knows? But it's just unnecessary. It's unnecessary. It's not going to get us closer to peace. And now you're in a situation where you basically just committed to never-ending support for Ukraine. That's what you've committed to. So I see the deals he got with Europe and the EU. Okay? And we can say these are great deals, and they are. If you isolate the trade deals and the tariff negotiations that Trump got done, then yes, fantastic. Unreal how great it is, actually. But these are not isolated incidents. These are not isolated negotiations. So the real price of that deal was $350 billion for Ukraine, continued military and financial support for Ukraine, and now ramp up aggression against Russia. So that was the real price of those negotiations. It was not a standalone deal where we get this one-sided trade deal now, which has been one-sided against us the entire time. But no, this was not an isolated deal that Trump made with the UK and with the EU on trade, greatest trade deal of all time for America. No. No. Our cost was we continue to pay the bill for NATO. Our cost was we continue to foot the bill for the war in Ukraine. Our cost was we continue to stand on anti-Russian political ground. That was the cost for us. And now you start to see some of the fruit of these negotiations. We're moving to nuclear submarines. In a frontal saber rattle with Russia. So this will hurt his approval rating. Especially if it gets worse. You continue to give the Democrats grounds to stand on, being anti-war. You say, well, the Democrats voted for the Ukraine war. Stop it. You know Democrats are liars. You know Democrats are not principled people. They're pro-war, they're anti-war, they're pro-war, they're anti-war. It's just whichever way the wind blows. Wherever there's ground to stand on. So they will now run on being anti-war. And the more we get involved in the Middle East and the more we get involved in Ukraine, the more ground they're going to have to stand on. But that was the deal. That's the deal that's been cut. And I've got more of the geopolitical news that we'll get into, but you just have to be honest. And look, I watched Kamala Harris on Stephen Colbert, and you know what? It was a very brutal reminder of thank God we didn't get Kamala Harris. I mean, truly thank God. Who knows what type of a mess we'd be in right now with 6 months of that clown. So let's be clear about that. I'm not regretting Trump over Harris by any stretch of the imagination. And it's probably good timing that Kamala goes on there and reminds us what a disaster she would have been. But I'm also a realist of what I've got. The Israeli lobby bought the campaign and bought the White House. They run it. And now he's negotiating deals with trade partners that are very favorable to us when isolated, but then you realize, no, that means that on the back end, we're paying the other bills, and we're paying the other military bills. So that's the reality of our situation. Now, I'll get into the other geopolitical news and finish that off on the other side before getting into the other developments in Washington, D.C. today.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I'll say this. See, this is the beauty when we deal with actual facts. Mm-hmm. I'll go straight to the United States government policy. You have what's called the National Security Study Memorandum 200, also known as NSSM 200, which was authorized, written under Dr. Henry Kissinger, who was the 32nd Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. Pardon me. Documentation. Now, this is all we go straight to what the U.S. government has stated. Mm-hmm. He stated, quote, "Depopulation should be the highest priority of U.S. foreign policy towards the third world," end quote. They literally stated in this documentation that we need to get rid of 2 to 3 billion people on planet Earth. Outside of that, you have something called Global 2000, which was also authorized under Jimmy Carter, outlining how food can be used as a weapon. Outside of that, you had someone by the name of Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a former advisor to President Jimmy Carter, who stated, quote, "In earlier times, it was easier to control 1 million people than to physically kill 1 million people." He said, "But now it is infinitely easier to kill 1 million people than it is to control," end quote.
It was easier to control 1 million people, literally. It was easier to control 1 million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control.
So what you're dealing with is the food, the air, the water, reproductive services, Planned Parenthood, and all these different arenas are being used to go towards an effort of getting rid of human beings, black, white, and all in between, by the billions.
I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
The negative impact of population growth on all of our planetary ecosystems is becoming appallingly evident.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
But at this point, they are looking at the reality that people are waking up too fast. They didn't expect us to wake up too fast, hence social media being a problem, a gift and a curse.
I've studied the pieces. We've got the owner's manual. We've got the blueprint. And let me tell you, it ain't pretty. UN climate change official says we should, quote, make every effort to depopulate the planet, close quote. There is pressure in the system to go towards that. We should do everything possible to carry that out. I mean, these people are totalitarians. It's eugenics. It's depopulation program. That's why this is the biggest subject that we could possibly cover. It's the reality. And so you think about that, and you think about what's going on long and hard. You better look into it, folks. You better find out it's real, okay? You think you're freaked out by this? I know why a lot of you are in denial.
So now that we're waking up so quickly, they didn't expect the masses of humanity to rise up, wake up, become aware of what this government's agenda is. And because of that, now they're trying to figure out exactly how to get rid of people. They said these white folks is waking up. They're coming against us, their government. Black folks is waking up. They're coming against us. So now at this point, they're like, well, just get rid of them all. Now, back to our program.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Piercing through the globalist agenda, welcome Owen Schroyer.
All right, to finish up on the Russia angle, this was a statement from President Trump yesterday at the White House.
I think it's Russia. I think it's disgusting what they're doing. I think it's disgusting. This is Biden's war. It's not my war. But I said, if I get in, I'll try and get the thing stopped. But I think what Russia is doing is very sad. A lot of Russians are dying. You have a lot of Russians. More Russians are dying. But Russians are dying. Ukrainians are dying. You know, the United States isn't really involved in that war. It shouldn't be. And by the way, I made a deal with NATO where NATO pays us for everything that we send. We send them ammunition, missiles, etc. And we're not paying anything for that war. But I will tell you this, it should be stopped. It's a disgrace. And the ones that are dying are so, they're losing 7,000 now. It was 5,000. They're losing now 7,000 soldiers a week, Ukrainian soldiers and Russian soldiers. And they're also losing people now in the towns and cities because Putin's hitting them with rockets. No, I think it's disgraceful.
I'm sorry, that statement is disgraceful.
Yeah, we have about 8 guys. Yeah, we're going to put sanctions. I don't know that sanctions bother him.
No, they don't. You tried it. It failed.
I know about sanctions. I know better than anybody about sanctions and tariffs and everything else. I don't know if that has any effect, but we're going to do it. Europe is extremely upset. But this is a war that should have never happened. This is a war that wouldn't have happened if I were president. And this is Biden's war. This was a stupid war to get into. Should have never gotten into this war.
So now you're just getting us more involved?
Yeah, going to Israel. And then he's going to Russia, believe it or not.
We'll talk about the Witkoff envoy, by the way. But, I mean, folks, it's just, that's just ridiculous gaslighting. We have not gotten involved in the Ukraine war. 2 months ago, you were talking about how we've lost $350 billion in the Ukraine war. You have the military right now scrambling because it's been hollowed out by the Biden administration. TSA can't even do gun training. They have to do dry fire drills because there's no ammunition. Oh, we haven't gotten involved in the Ukraine war. What are you talking about? What is that absolute garbage? Okay, I get it. You probably did want to end it day one. I believe that. And I believe you tried. But it failed. So you used to be able to call this Biden's war. Now it's going to be Biden and Trump's war. But the deal's already been cut. He basically just said it. He's like, oh, well, you know, we're not really paying for it. Yeah, they're repaying us with tariffs. That's what this is. So really, the balance book probably evens out. We might come out a little bit on top. I'll give credit to Trump there. Looks like we'll come out a little bit on top of it. But no, we are absolutely involved in this war. Ukraine wouldn't be fighting this war if it weren't for us backing them. It's just, I'm not going to sit here and be treated like an idiot, okay? I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit here and be treated like a moron. They voted against oversight of the money and the weapons into Ukraine because they knew the whole plan the entire time was to launder the money and the weapons out of Ukraine and into different proxy groups. And then the Ukrainian oligarchs, they get their cut. That's why they're all hanging out in Europe with their fancy cars. It's very well known. They're all leaving Kiev now. So it used to be the oligarchs all got their cut. But they were, the deal was that they could stay in peace in Kiev. So the Kiev nightlife was booming. The Kiev economy was booming. And the real rich oligarchs were traveling all throughout Europe, literally hauling vehicle transport trucks with all their fancy cars. And so that was their cut. And then the rest of the money and the rest of the weapons, some would go to the Ukraine war. And then others would go to proxy groups in the Middle East, like Al-Qaeda, ISIS, whatever they want to call them, all CIA, Mossad-run groups, MI6-run groups. And then they do what? They overthrow Assad. And by the way, Russia knows this. Putin was friends with Assad. So that's, Russia doesn't take kindly to that either. So it's like, yeah, I'll give Trump credit where it's due. Trump cut off the military-industrial complex proxy funding and wars in the Middle East. And he says, oh, we defeated ISIS. We defeated ISIS. Yeah, because you stopped sending the weapons and you stopped sending the money. That was all coming from the West. So, yeah, Trump defeated ISIS. He cut off their air supply. There was no money. There was no weapons. So what happens? Biden gets in. They start the war with Russia. $350 billion. All kinds of weapons going out. The Afghanistan pullout. Those weapons end up on the black market. And then what do you get? ISIS is back. Al-Qaeda is back. Terror attack in Israel, October 7th. Terror attack in Syria, the fall of Assad. Do you get it? This is how it works. This is how the real world works. But no, you can't call it Biden's war anymore. You are now in this war too. That's not going to work here. So I'd love to defend President Trump, and I do believe he wants the peace, but I'm not going to play this game. This is no longer just Biden's war. Now you're putting your foot into this water, too. And this is only going one direction, by the way, in case you haven't noticed. It's only going one direction. Now, so that's that angle. Gaza starvation widens, MAGA rupture with Israel. This was published last night. Now, the approval rating rises and falls. For the most part, it's kind of on par with normal second-term administrations, but usually after the president gets elected to their second term, they don't have to win re-election, so they start to go sideways. They don't have to win another election, so they can kind of do whatever they want. It's like Obama starts bombing all these countries. So some of it is on par with normal second-term politics, presidential politics, but this one is a little more sped up. This one is moving at a way faster pace. Donald Trump's approval rating falls to new lows, specifically with white voters. And a lot of this, obviously, is his own support team that didn't want to get more involved in the Middle East, didn't want to get more involved in Ukraine, and now here we are. But you have to understand, the reporting here, whether it's the approval rating or Gaza starvation widens MAGA rupture with Israel, I can sit here and I can call out fake news and I can call out propaganda. But just because a source that deals in propaganda and fake news like CNN put something true out doesn't mean you just discount it. And so you're kind of, you know, I was thinking about this earlier too. We're like in this boy that cried wolf phase right now where, like, there's another story I'll get to where Bloomberg and Newsweek and everybody, and I don't doubt that it's true. I won't get into it deeply now, but I don't doubt that it's true. The FBI, the reason why they can't give you the Epstein list is because, like Musk said, Trump is in it, and the FBI is going through it, redacting Trump's name from every single document that is connected to Epstein that they have. Now, does that mean I think Trump was doing anything illegal with Jeffrey Epstein's money laundering operations or whatever else he was doing? Or do I think Trump was sleeping with minors or engaged in any of that activity? No, I don't think that that's true. But he was obviously friends with Epstein. So they're just getting rid of all of this stuff. But see, they can publish the stories. Trump's approval rating goes down. Gaza issue is tearing apart MAGA. FBI is erasing Trump's name from the Epstein files. And it's the boy that cried wolf. Because the left-wing media has lied so much, really, just you could just say that, because the left-wing media has lied so much, period, nobody believes anything anymore. But specifically, because the left-wing media has lied so much about Trump, so much that now if they report the truth, nobody believes it. So you are in a boy that cried wolf scenario right now, which is kind of ironic. They have nobody but themselves to blame. So they can say, hey, look, Trump's in the Epstein files. Nobody listens to you. You're liars. Hey, Trump's approval rating is failing. No, you're liars. I don't believe you. MAGA is being torn apart by the Gaza situation. Oh, you're fake news. I don't believe you. And so Trump is basically gambling with that. And it's, for the most part, you could argue it's working. You know, most people still sit there and, oh, yeah, oh, if it's CNN, then I don't believe it. If it's Axios, then I don't believe it. If it's, well, I mean, look, if Axios tells you water's good for you, are you going to say, are you going to stop drinking water? Let's not turn into the left here. But that's what's going on. It's a boy that cried wolf scenario that now nobody believes there's a wolf, and Trump is taking advantage of that. Oh, we're not involved in Ukraine. Oh, Trump said we're not involved in Ukraine. What? That's crazy. And aside from just, okay, breaking down the statement and saying, is this true or not? I think you also have to recognize here, I mean, folks, this is not the Donald Trump that we're used to. And I think that this is probably the hardest pill for a lot of people to swallow. We're not used to a President Trump that gets, I mean, it's like, I could watch a Barack Obama speech and it's just like, yeah, lie, 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 lie. And then we sit there, cover his State of the Union addresses and everything else. It's like, yeah, he's just lying about everything. Well, normally we're confident that Trump is being honest. We might disagree with some of the approaches, but we believe he's being honest. To sit here and tell us that we're not involved in Ukraine, I mean, that is just a blatant lie. It's offensive. But this is a very real phenomenon. The reliably pro-Israel Republican Party is scrambling to contain a generational revolt over foreign aid, anti-Semitism, and the true meaning of America first. What have I been saying? Well, I don't know if I've said the word generational revolt, but I've been saying this is generational for months now. So it's just obvious stuff, folks. Amid scenes of starvation in Gaza, the MAGA movement has become an unlikely epicenter of the national reckoning over America's relationship with Israel. So here's what I think people are not fully understanding. the sights and the scenes from Gaza, and maybe if you've been around longer and you've kind of gone through since the 90s, all the drama with Israel and America and everything else, you're kind of numb to it. And so you just kind of go with the flow of it. It's different this go around, folks. This isn't a corporate controlled media landscape anymore. This isn't the four major networks. If they cover it, you know it. If they don't, you don't. No, everybody can now see what's happening in Gaza. It's undeniable. And so young Americans, they will never forget this. They will never forget what Israel has done in the Gaza Strip. And what's even wilder, and we already know the answer, but what's even wilder is you'd think at a certain point Netanyahu or the IDF would say, all right, we've used October 7th enough. It was obviously a stand down, but I guess some people just refuse to recognize this. So it's like, all right, we've sent a message after October 7th. Now we're kind of becoming the bad guy here. It's like, we get attacked on October 7th, but now we've been so bad, we've become the bad guy. So maybe it's like, okay, let's hit a pause. Let's back off a little bit. Let's kind of reevaluate here. But they're not. Why? Because the entire agenda was to take the Gaza Strip. Of course it was. Why do you think they're leveling the entire thing? They say, well, you know, Israel is so humanitarian. They're putting out flyers. They're warning people they're about to bomb. It's so great. No. That's not because Israel is so noble and great. It's because it's their military strategy. They're not going to send their troops in there to actually have a front-line military fight, boots-on-the-ground military fight with Hamas or whoever else might be there. They're not going to do that. They're not going to send in front-line infantrymen. I mean, what percentage of the IDF is like these young females that just post on Instagram all day long? The IDF soldiers, they're not going to go in. They're not going to go in on the ground to Gaza. They're not going to go into the Hamas tunnels. They're not going to face the gunfire. They're not going to face the landmines. They're not going to face the tunnels with the booby-trapped explosive devices. They're not going to do that. So they just carpet bomb the whole thing and tell everybody to move. And if you don't move, that's your fault because they're taking the land. And then they'll put everybody into a tiny little portion of land. And once they feel that there's no more threat, then they'll move in and they'll corner everybody. And they'll say, oh, you know, where's Hamas? Where's Hamas? And then they'll start relocating everybody and Israel will send in all their settlers. It's already happening. And they'll just claim the land. So young Americans will never forget this. And no amount of pro-Israel propaganda. In fact, now the pro-Israel propaganda is actually having a reverse effect because it's so obnoxious, because it's so obvious. So it's almost like the issue almost doesn't even matter anymore. There's just a visceral reaction to this from America's youth. There's a visceral reaction to this from just the anti-establishment rebellious types that are just like, the more you tell me how great Israel is, the more you tell me I need to support Israel, the more you tell me they're our greatest ally, and the more I see what's actually going on in the Gaza Strip, the more I can't stand it anymore, and the more it becomes a major political issue to end it. Like, you've got this reporter for the Daily Wire. This young girl. I don't know what her real story is. She used to be a different name. She got married. I don't know if she's Jewish herself or a convert, but somebody says, oh, why Jews will, because she's just so pro-Israel. Somebody says, Jews will never accept you. So Daily Wire reporter Cassie Akiva says, I'm literally on the cover of Jewish Orthodox Union's magazine, Jewish Action, Voices of Valor, Women Advocating for Israel. So, I mean, it's like, you understand? They're not even hiding it, folks. These are Israel advocates. They're not America first. They're not American patriots. They're Israel loyalists. They're Israel dual citizens. So that's what I'm saying. It's beyond a political issue now. So you can try to go into the X's and O's and the history and say, oh, here's the good guy and the bad guy, or oh, the Muslims, what you did. It's all just noise. People don't hear the noise anymore. It's like when you get in your car and the seatbelt thing starts beeping and eventually you just don't even hear it. Or like the people with the fire alarm chirps, they just don't even hear it. It's like, that's what that is now. It's like, we don't even hear that anymore. Oh, well, you know, Muslims are the ones. They want to kill you. Don't even hear it. Israel's the good guys. There's no, don't even hear it. It's like people say, I see all the pro-Israel accounts. I'm sick of the Islamic propaganda. And then I see all the anti-Israel accounts. I'm sick of the Jewish propaganda. I'm sitting here like, I'm sick of all of it. I'm sick of all of it. So now, what do we see? We just see, oh, pro-Israel all the time. Israel, Israel, Israel. Oh, everything Trump does for Israel. Oh, they find this girl at a gym. And the Department of Justice is going after a college student for anti-Semitism. Oh, my gosh. What about the swatting victims? I had guns pointed at my head. I had a laser light put on my head. What does the Department of Justice do? What does the FBI do? Nothing. They say, oh, we've got arrests coming. We're doing the investigation. And then they totally ghost us. They give us nothing. No delivery, no arrests, no investigations, nothing. But a young girl in Florida says something mean to a guy in an IDF cert, and the DOJ goes after her, launches investigations into her. She gets kicked out of her school. She's getting doxxed online. Because, oh, a 20-year-old or whatever saying something to a guy at a gym. Oh my gosh. So people are just sick of it. The political debate doesn't even matter anymore. It's all just noise. And the backdrop is everything going on in Gaza that they can't hide with mainstream media propaganda. So yeah, there is a revolt. There is an anti-Israel revolt. There is a MAGA revolt. And no matter how often you sit here and say, Israel's our ally, Muslims want you dead. No, the more you say that stuff, the more you try to shove pro-Israel propaganda down America's face, the worse it gets. But that's what I'm saying. They're not even hiding it. It's like, look, I work for the Daily Wire. I'm an advocate for Israel. Let me tell you something. You never say never, but I mean, I will never be an advocate for a foreign country up here as an American broadcaster, up here as an American patriot, up here as a pro-America political prisoner, free speech advocate. I'm not going to sit here and say, look, I'm pro-America. I love the country, but I'm an advocate for a foreign country. You will never see me do that. But then, it's everywhere else, and you don't dare say anything about it. So yes, there is a generational revolt. You're now one or two election cycles away from it becoming a major political issue, if not the biggest political issue. It's such a big issue, it could end up being the top mandate of the New York City mayor's race. A mayor's race that has nothing to do with foreign policy. Nothing to do with Israel or Gaza or anything. It's a mayor's race, and it's very likely Israel could be the determining factor in a mayor's race. That's how big this is getting. And you can already hear the noise. Greatest ally. Islam is your enemy. You just hear the noise. October 7th, Holocaust. It's just like this buzz. And they don't understand. We don't hear it anymore. We're numb to it now. It's been going off in our ear for so long, we don't even hear it. It doesn't work. But no, this girl, I think I sent the crew the video. It's just crazy. And look, this girl's a big lib. She's a big, aggressive left lib. And there's some guy at a gym. I don't know if it's the Florida State gym or what, in an IDF shirt. And it looks like we might get a better understanding of the story soon. I don't know. Her lawyers are probably telling her not to talk, but because now the DOJ is coming after her. I mean, oh my God. By the way, the guy that films it, so he's wearing an IDF shirt. He posts it on his social media account laughing, by the way. He has a laughing emoji because it's ridiculous. It's funny. It's like you see a guy in a shirt you disagree with, so you kind of like rage like a banshee. Like, yeah, you kind of look silly. But oh my gosh, it's anti-Semitic because she doesn't like the IDF and she's triggered by an IDF shirt. And then they say that she attacked him. Well, again, we'll wait and see what her official statement is or what statement her lawyer makes, because it looks like they're switching machines, or she left the machine and she's going to grab her water bottle. But there's a moment where it looks like she's reaching to grab him, but then it looks like she grabs a water bottle. I don't know. But the point is, it's like, oh my gosh, national case. Pam Bondi's on it, guys. Pam Bondi is on the case. A 20-year-old girl at a gym doesn't like an IDF shirt, and Pam Bondi is on the case. Thank you for your leadership and prompt action. Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated anywhere. The DOJ and U.S. attorneys are investigating this, and they release this huge statement. Randy Fine calls her an Islamic, a Muslim terrorist. She's a left-wing liberal. She's a goofy lib. She's 20 years old. Randy Fine says she's a Muslim terrorist. She's a white liberal woman. And then, oh, this is how you deal with anti-Semitism. Immediately, swift discipline. Yeah, but when people do fake SWAT callings and innocent Americans get guns pointed at their head, no big deal. If I would have had a little small hat on my head, do you think it would have made a difference, guys? So this is what they've done. And really, you're shocked? You're shocked that people are talking about being sick of Israel? You're shocked that people have concluded that Israel runs foreign policy and runs the DOJ and runs the White House? I mean, it's not like they have any evidence. It's not like they have anything leading them to this conclusion. I mean, come on, man. So now they're going to try to ruin this little girl's life. By the way, they didn't say anything about Austin Metcalf. They didn't say anything about the attack on the lady in Cincinnati. But this girl, she's the bad anti-Semite. She's in the Department of Justice crosshairs now. We'll stop her.
You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theallstarsword.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
See, that no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, thealexostore.com.
Ultimate Fish Oil is not just a supplement, but a statement.
Morning.
Not only can Ultimate Fish Oil from InfoWarsStore.com help your heart, mind, and joints, but it keeps InfoWars on the air.
Morning. Morning.
Your heart is the engine of your life, and Ultimate Fish Oil is the premium fuel it craves.
Morning. 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 Morning.
Ultimate Fish Oil is your cognitive clarity captain. The DHA in this formula is a foundational stone for brain health. Ultimate Fish Oil is your joint health general. The soothing reduction in inflammation ensures you'll feel invincible in the info war. InfoWars has never wavered from its mission, and with Ultimate Fish Oil, neither will you. Step up to the plate, nourish your body, and nourish the fight for a future where the new world order is defeated. Get it now at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.